You're tuned to local radio WRFRLP, 93.3 in Rockland and 99.3 in Camden. Streaming on the web at WRFR.org.
And welcome to the Penobscot Bay Report and Gulf of Maine Monitor. As your host, Ron Huber, here to talk about Maine's biggest bay and the things going on around Maine's biggest bay, both up at Augusta and down around St. George. And Matt Stern of the significant Wildlife Preservation Committee is going to talk to us about this, because there's been a ongoing back-and-forth effort here where the St. George Board of Appeals, the plan went for them. They sent it back to the planning board, which rejected it again, rejected it twice. And so here we are. Can you tell us something about what's going on with this project? So a bit of this background, too.
Well, Watts Cove is an upper tidal mudflat estuary of the St. George River that's kind of protected by an old mill dam. There's not a lot of square footage in it. And it's been a protected area for decades, or should I say the residents of the area have been wishing to protect it for decades.
Okay.
It's been designated as a significant wildlife habitat by both the St. George Conservation Commission and the Maine Inland Fish and Wildlife. And, but it comes with that a very loose of how it should be protected. But the residents on Watts Cove, and I am a resident of Watts Cove, mm-hmm. have just organically agreed to protect it for decades. So there's no floats in there. There's no boats. There's very little tide. It's mostly mud most of the day. And there's a plethora of wildlife that feed in there.
I was about to ask you that seasonally. That must change. It must be interesting to see. Here's the arrival of the blanks as seasons go by, right?
Yeah, so you would see, it's an interesting thing because it's mud for most of the day. So when the water is in, there's birds that feed when the tide is in. And then when the tide goes out, I'm not a bird watcher, but there's mm-hmm. tons of birds that feed in there in the off, when the tide is out in the mud flats. And I'm also, through doing this, we've learned that this is necessary for a lot of birds to make their migration, to eat their fill in places like this. And it's special because it has very little activity, and it's very quiet, and it's very safe for the birds. So they stay there. So it's one of the last few places we have that are like that, that does not have commotion like that.
And it's probably relatively unpolluted, too, those flats.
It's unpolluted. It's actually one of the few places that ever gets closed for clammers. So clammers climb in there. So there'll be other coves that will be closed. Watts Cove seems to stay open for most of the time.
Well, that's a triumph, because that's a big chunk. Rockland, everything's closed. Of course, it's precautionary closure, because you need to test it consistently for several years, and then it's considered clean. But that's money that...
Yeah, Maine is just, there was a publication on the web that I saw that Watts Cove was one of the few coves that were open for clamming last clamming season.
Oh, okay. So now that enter politics into all this, it seems like there's politics and there's real estate.
Yeah, so now you have a community that supports the cove. In fact, one whole shoreline of this tiny inlet is in conservation easement by the Georges River Land Trust and is in easement by the town. So now what happens is somebody moves in from away and decides that they want to put a giant float and a big aluminum ramp and have moorings in there and put boats and it's chasing the wildlife, and that has really become the issue, which started out as maybe a conversation to be, hey, mm-hmm. how about you reconsider, not denying anyone access to the water, but, let's build something on a scale that's appropriate for this.
Just so our listeners understand, you're talking about building this ramp and float on a mud flat.
On a mud flat, right. So for most of the day, the float and the ramp would sit on mud. So, at high tide in this cove, it's very shallow. At high mm-hmm. tide, maybe you might have 5 feet of water. So it's really only for kayaks and canoes.
It's certainly not the sort of place you can tie up your boat unless you are cool with it sitting on the mud half
right,
a day.
Right. And I've lived there, and I've had kids raised there. So we've had all sorts of aluminum boats and canoes and kayaks. But for the most part, it's just very simple just to pull your boats on shore and launch. So now, so now we have someone who wants to develop it and develop it for their use and contends that I need to have this giant float to use my canoes and kayaks, and that's really what started the whole.
Would this give him the ability to use them 24/7, or is it still going to end up in a flat?
No, it's like any small tidal mudflat cove. You still only have a few hours either side of high tide, mm-hmm. and then where that tide at that few hours either side of high tide hits may not be the time of day you use your boat. It could be early in the morning, could be at the end of the day. So there's a window when it's in the middle of the day when you would use those floats. So so there is no real advantage to reach out further into the cove because the cove is mm-hmm. all mud.
Now, as you said, you had some discussions with this person before as to whether or not they should, the Malloys,
yep.
whether or not they should reconsider doing this, and then that didn't seem to happen. The process has gone forward, and you and a band of other people that care about the place have been quite successful in a lot of ways.
Well, it's not really me. I mean, I've kind of have somehow come to the front of it, but only because I just felt it was a need for somebody to do it. But there is an army of people behind me in the community that does really support it, and there's been countless letters written and people attending planning board meetings. And like you said, Ron, the planning board, when this initial application came up, they didn't even rule on it. They asked the applicant, the Malloys, to go back and please rescale, reconsider. So they came back with another design, and that design was turned down. It was not really significantly changed at all. Got turned down. So it came up that he made another design. So once the planning board just kind of told him to go back and asked mm-hmm. him to go back and please rescale it in a friendly way. But twice it's officially come before this planning board, and twice it's been turned down. In between the two planning boards meeting, he's appealed it. It's gone to the appeal board. The appeal board has thrown it back to the planning board, and again the planning board has turned it down. And once again, it's going to go to appeal one more time.
Now, I've noticed that the Malloys have a high-powered attorney. That is from one of the larger law firms in the state, and they obviously are in this for the long term here. They are trying to control that decision-making process by saying you can only limit your review to A, B, and C, not D, E, and F.
Yeah, I think that's what they're trying to do. There's certain sections of the ordinance that talks about will not adversely affect wildlife and is not longer in dimension than necessary for the activity. There is another part that talks mm-hmm. in the ordinance that talks about whether it's keeping with the character of what presently exists. So those are the things I think the planning board ruled on. It is kind of out of scale for what you need to do to launch a kayak and a canoe, and it's certainly not in keeping. We have no active floats in the cove, and it would be a hard... We don't know if it's going to risk the wildlife, you know? So that's the question. Is it worth the risk for the wildlife? The DEP says, or Maine Inland Fish and Wildlife say that anything in the water affects an area, a radius of 300 feet. So effectively, you know, you have four moorings and a float, and, you know, you're kind of choking off mm-hmm. this cove. So I guess it comes down to is the risk worth the reward, and do we want to develop places like this? You know, we do a lot of development on the peninsula. A lot of people get permits to do things, but mm-hmm. maybe in little places like this, that's the question. Do we say, let's try to preserve a place?
As you said, you're trying to find things that fit into the existing system, not something that is jars that whole process, the whole thing. As you said, people around that cove will use floats, but they're seasonal. They take them out when they're not using them.
Well, there actually there were floats in the cove. There's mm-hmm. no active floats now, and haven't been for years. I had a small 4x8 float that was just tied by a line to shore mm-hmm. that my kids used as a raft and things like that. But it doesn't really help me launch a kayak. It doesn't really do anything. So it hasn't been in the water for years. So there are really no active floats that are in the cove. There's nothing in there. And so that becomes really the question. The ordinance kind of looks at all waterfront as the same. And I think that's what the question has come up in, because here we're at a juncture that maybe not all waterfront is the same. And if you want to have a place to launch boats and use power boats and jet skis, maybe mm-hmm. that's not should be done in a wildlife area that's a mud flat. You know, maybe you should have another different place to do that activity.
Wow, so are are you saying that the town itself ought to re-examine its ordinances?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the ordinance could be, I mean, it would be helpful in this situation, certainly, if the ordinance was clearer and was not, didn't speak to every place, because it does leave room for interpretation, and there are other documents from Maine Inland Fish and Wildlife, and from wildlife biologists we've received letters, and ornithologists we've received mm-hmm. letters, but legally I guess we can't really look at that, or the planning board can't really look at that to make their decision. They have to base it on the town ordinance.
Right.
So expanding the town ordinance, if the intention is to protect places like this, is what needs to have happen here. So, so I guess the question is, you know, do we choose as a community to invest in places like this to protect it,
mm-hmm.
or do we give way to letting development come in?
Well, you know, it's interesting. When we look at Rockland has a harbor plan, you know, and part of it is actually, as you look down through the years, these things evolve. But an important part of it is that the scenic parts of the city, you know, are very finite in a way. And if you're going to, you have to keep that in mind when you're developing somewhere. And that's why, for example, the Samoset has been thwarted twice trying to put a marina next to the breakwater. Made a lot of sense then you could just go right up to the resort, you know, right out of your boat. And they would have blocked it. It would have, I guess, soiled a view from a little park at the base of the breakwater. And they decided that was too much of an impact, even with the company having all sort of simulations showing how minor it would be and all that.
Yeah, so I think those are kind of the arguments that we're hearing, you know, a precedence arguments, which I think we all can agree precedent is not really the argument to make, because, you know, we don't dump raw sewage in the ocean anymore, and we have shoreland zoning. So precedence is really not a good argument for this thing.
This is very double-edged.
It's a double-edged. And then you come into this thing where you hear the argument, well, what about this place? This place is like Watts Cove, and it has floats, and it has moorings, and it has ramps. Well, that is, just in that statement, it's not like Watts Cove, because it doesn't have floats and moorings. So mm-hmm. if you were to do an example, you would need to show a place just like that doesn't have anything. So to say this place is like it, but it's developed, there's a disconnect
I think it's interesting, just as the Samoset tried multiple times, actually under different governors even, to do this and was turned back, it seems like the present situation here, this person doesn't seem to like take no for an answer.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all have a bit of that we want, and we pay for our land, and we want to have access to it. I just want to be clear that no one's denying anybody shoreland access. No one, you know, I'm the first one to say we should all enjoy beautiful places like this. But there's a way to do it with minimal impact, to have a float, keep it tied close to shore, to have, you know, bring your kayaks and canoes onto shore with racks, or just keep them close to shore, and not stake claim to the entire cove and have a huge footprint out in the middle of it.
Which, unfortunately, you know, that's what that is.
That's what's happening here. So that's what we're pushing back from. We're not trying to say, hey, you can't use this or can't have access. We're just trying to see how can we, you know, please exercise minimal impact to places like this.
So if he switched his plan, for example, to the sort of seasonal thing you're saying there, something that could be rolled up and you're not using it, not meaning rolled out all summer, but I mean...
Even if we had an ornithologist come down and look at it, and he kind of talked about the birds and plain language, and he was like, you know, hey, if you have something up against your shore, you know, it's tucked in, it makes the least footprint in the wildlife habitat. It would have the least disturbance to the birds.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly they all agree that activity, human activity, is what chases them away most of the time. So to have a big float, you would think with a big float comes big activity, comes mm-hmm. chairs, comes whatever comes with that.
Right.
And that's the part that, because I think once you lose places like this, they're gone forever, so never to come back. So I think that's the scary part.
So, flash forward to the present here. What do you anticipate taking place at the coming event, and when is that meeting?
So we have an appeal board meeting coming up February 23rd, and I'm hopeful. I'm meeting with the Molloys, the applicants, today, and once again to try to come up with some compromise
mm-hmm.
that can work. So I have my fingers crossed that we'll be able to come up with something that allows everybody to be happy with it. You know, I don't think anybody's trying to turn any, you know, knock someone down. We're just trying to strike a compromise that gets them what they want, has them allowed to use their boats, preserve the cove, not impact, minimally impact the wildlife, and appreciate what's there. So I think that this is one of these places that when you look out upon it, it's pristine, it's beautiful, it's organic, there's so many birds, you're like, oh my goodness, look at this place. So that is very different than if you looked at a place that was filled with floats and moorings and boats tied up. You don't
say, look at the gulls.
You don't have the same.
I like gulls.
It's not the same feeling. So for me, this is a priceless thing. You can't go to Home Depot and buy a place like this. This just exists by nature the way it is. And because it's so tiny, it's not really a big thing to say, let's just preserve a little place like this for the birds.
Right. At the same time, as I think you've mentioned there, a small place is a lot easier to have a big impact on a little place.
Right, right. And what I'm also told is that I've had a lot of conversations with the folks, the wildlife biologist, Minland Fish. They said if somebody set something up in the beginning of the cove, then the birds don't go through the back door. They stop. There's something's there. There's people there. We don't go in that cove.
Oh.
So it essentially chokes it off. So, I'm sure you can get wildlife biologists to say that, and I'm sure you can get wildlife biologists to say it's not going to be a problem.
Yes, right.
So then we call them biostitutes. Whether they're truthful or not, I guess the question comes down to, is it worth the risk?
Mm-hmm.
That is really the big precautionary question. And if it's not necessary, I mean, this is not a place somebody can tie up a boat and launch a power boat or even a boat with an outboard. This is a canoe and a kayak place.
Well, are you a good poker player, negotiator? Hopefully the negotiations will work out.
Yeah, I hope so. My expression is you would think that everybody likes golden retrievers, but maybe that's not the way this is. You know, somebody has it in mind that they want something. They spent money for a piece of property. They want to do what they want to do, and I can appreciate that too. I mean, I own property on this cove, but to me, I see a huge value, almost a priceless value, to have a place like this in your backyard.
Yes.
And I think the other residents on the cove feel the same way, that it's a priceless value to have a protected, pristine, undeveloped little mud flat that birds feed on. So the question is, can one person come in and expect everyone else to accept the risk for
that? Well, I think the answer is pretty clear so far, that no, there's not interest in that.
Yeah, but I would say as a town, we're divided, and there are people that say, the birds will find another place to go. Well, maybe not. I don't know about that.
So has it gotten to where there's a division there at the local store or something?
I think I haven't really seen it. Most people I've talked to have been supportive of it and have been kind of rooting us on to happen. But I know, I'm sure there are people who kind of carbon copy this onto their own property and say, oh my God, if this can happen here, then maybe it will happen to me too. So I think that's the fear, but you have to put it in perspective. We're just really talking about a tiny little mud flat cove.
Yeah.
We're not talking about the opening of Watts Cove. We're not talking about Mosquito Harbor. We're not talking about any place that has high activity that has been established as that.
Right, right. Think out in the Muscle Ridge on the other side of St. George there. There's an aquaculture project that's drawn a lot of concern from people that fish in that area there. And that's probably a bit more of a divider, at least. I don't know. I went to one of the hearings, and it was certainly people rather testy about the whole thing. But as you're saying there, Watts Cove, the changes there are not going to affect the rest of the community.
No, they're not going to affect the rest of the community. It doesn't really keep anybody. What we're saying doesn't really keep anybody from using the cove. And in the summer, I see countless people kayaking in there with cameras and taking pictures of boats, birds, and quietly coming in there. And I think that's what it should be for. That's a place like that would be wonderful if everybody could just, when you go in a place like this that has nothing, that's really picturesque, beautiful, that is almost the land before time. You don't know it's 2017. It could be the turn of the century in there. And we all, whether we fish in places like that or boat in places like that or the places we go on Maine, we all pause and say, wow, this is beautiful. So to have someone come in and say, I want to have what I want and I want it to change, or I'm not respectful of what you guys are talking about, that's where the pushback is. But like I said, I can't not say we don't want you know, I'm not saying somebody shouldn't have access. I'm not saying somebody
right,
shouldn't.
Yeah,
I'm saying by all means, everybody should enjoy it. But enjoy it in its splendor the way it is.
Right, right, right. Because after all, keeping it as it is, it's a very conservative thing to do. You know, and it is really conserving the natural system there. And that's the other challenge is if this, so if one person gets an okay to build out into it, then isn't that setting a precedent for anyone else?
Well, that's really the scary part, you know. So if you okay something to happen for one person, then if everybody does it, then quickly in the snap of a finger, you know, in one season, it's gone. And it's over with. You know, we have, you know, there's the heron come in there, great blue heron feed in there. They're very timid birds, and you know, it wouldn't take much to chase them away. And so, as a community, as a town, I think you know we're at the crossroads of how we deal with something like this in a special resource. And I know, you know, I've heard the planning board say they give permits for people to do all sorts of things on the cove and on the peninsula. So I think it feels good to kind of say we're going to preserve a little place like this. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm talking with Matt Stern about what's going on in Watts Cove. And Matt, how can people get more information?
People can go to my website, which is significantwildlifepreservationmaine.org, SWPCMaine.org. That's an ongoing website we have for this. There's a appeal board meeting coming up February 23rd. I encourage people to write to the town manager or write to the code officer or write to the town of St. George and in your support of how you feel about this.
And would they have an opportunity to speak? Is there a public speaking?
I don't think at the appeal board meeting they will hear anything, but you know, just a show of people, I think that makes a big difference. You know, if it was just me, you know, raising my hand, I don't think this would have gotten where it's gotten. But this has gone on since June, so now with how many months is that? 8-9 months. This is going on for now since the summer, and there's like I said, there is an army of people that.
I was terribly impressed when I went to that meeting. After all this time, still you're practically filling the room.
Yeah, and I think it's hard. I think it's hard for people. You know, not everybody. This is not what people do. People have their own lives, and their interests wane. Trying to keep up a fight like this, it is exhausting to do. But surprisingly, people still have their hearts in it, and. We're just hoping that it will be preserved. And I'm hoping when I meet with the Molloys, the applicants today, we can come with some compromise.
All right. Well, good luck. Look, we have to take off here, but I really appreciate your coming in here.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Hopefully, things will negotiate as you want there.
Thank you very much, Ron.